Way good, Millie, way good. About 30 years ago, I was sitting in a church service with my parents and listening to a children's message. And the guy who was doing the message had this big bag, and he came and he sat down on the front steps, and he called all the kids around, and they all came up and sat around him. And he said, he asked the kids, he said, "Have you ever had something in your eye?" And the kids, some of the kids were going, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "And you know, when we get something in our eye, we really like somebody to help us get it out, right?" And they were going, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." And he said, "Well, I want you to pretend you have something in your eye, and I'm going to help you get it out." And he took the bag, and he pulled out a big handkerchief. And then he said, "I'm ready." And he said, "Let me help." And he turned to the kids, and all the kids went, "Oh, no, no, no." And he said, "Why, what's the matter? Why won't you let me help you?" And they were saying, "You've got that thing in your eye." And he said, "Well, what should I do?" And they said, "Take it out, take it out." I remember that. For the last 30 years, I have remembered that log in that guy's eye. And it is a metaphor for what we all do. Because all of us walk around with this big log in our eye, asking other people to let us help them remove the splinters from theirs. Now, that man who did that children's story did not invent that story, of course, that image of the log in the eye. Jesus did. He had a teaching parable. And probably the closest recorded statement of what he said was probably comes from the saying Gospel of Thomas. And the sayings Gospel of Thomas says this. Jesus was quoted as saying, "You see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not see the log that is in your own eye. When you take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly enough to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Now, that's an intriguing image. Obviously, I mean, it stayed with me for 30 years. But I have to ask, why did Jesus tell this story? What was he trying to get at? Now, that story is found in many places in the gospel. And so in the Gospel of Matthew, there, the writer put two sentences right in front of that story as a lead-in that kind of explains what Jesus was getting at. And the writer precedes this illustration with these words, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get back." Now, suddenly this story is getting very personal because Jesus is picking on the favorite human paradigm of judging. Now, this is an activity that we are all doing in one guise or another. But Jesus, I believe, had a very specific form of judging in mind. You see, George Lamsa was an Aramaic scholar. He was actually raised in the Aramaic language. And in his translation and his explanation of this story, he writes that "do not judge" is an Aramaic idiom. An idiom that actually means "do not criticize." Do not criticize, a very specific form of judgment. My personal spiritual work is A Course in Miracles, and it actually comments on this passage. It says that when the Bible says, "Judge not that ye be not judged," it means that if you judge the reality of others, you will be unable to avoid judging your own. Let me say that again. If you judge the reality of others, you cannot avoid judging the reality of your own. It goes on to say right after that, that judgment always involves rejection. It never emphasizes only the positive aspects of what is judged, whether in you or in others, but has been perceived and rejected or judged and found wanting, remains in your mind because it was perceived. Our mind is like that proverbial sponge. And once it takes a concept in, that concept then colors everything else that we observe. When we criticize something or someone out there, we will inadvertently and unavoidably give that same criticism to ourselves. So this idea of critical judging impacts us, whether it's directed from me to someone else or from me to myself. Judging creates a log in our eye, and that log blinds us from seeing clearly. So the question becomes, why is this teaching important to us? Well, Unity has taught for well over 100 years now that we mold our lives by the creative power of our thoughts. Now, the law of causation can be stated in many different ways. One of Unity's favorite ways of saying it is thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. The teachings of Abraham call it the law of attraction. And the law of attraction in the Abraham material says, that which is like unto itself is drawn. I like to say, what we focus on, we create in our lives. What we focus on, we create in our lives. So when we judge one another, we are using the power of thought as spiritual beings to create. And what we hold in our consciousness, we manifest in our lives. That is why we are told not to judge, not to criticize, because as we hold judgment for another, we hold it for ourselves. What we focus on, we create in our lives. So this shows up in some very concrete ways in our lives. In ministerial school, I studied one of my courses out of a textbook of appreciative inquiry. And in that book, it tells of an episode in the business world that illustrates this perfectly. There was a business called ProCare. It was an auto repair business. And they wanted to improve their customer satisfaction rate, even though their current satisfaction rate was 95%. They wanted to go after that last 5%. So they did focus groups with the 5% dissatisfied customers, and they then posted descriptions of the reasons why those customers were dissatisfied. And they posted those in all their outlets. So the result was a drop in customer satisfaction, a drop in employee morale, and a drop in employee retention. The leadership of the company, in desperation, turned to some outside consultants in AI, and they came in and they did focus groups. But they did focus groups with the percentage of people who were 100% satisfied. And then they took the reasons why they were 100% satisfied, and they posted them in all the outlets of all of the ProCare outlets. And lo and behold, the result was a rise in employee morale, a rise in employee retention, and a rise in the overall customer satisfaction rate beyond the original 95%. What we focus on, we create in our lives. If we are seeing through a log of judgment, That is what we create. One of my personal realizations that I found as I worked with this material and getting ready for today was how automatically I can be critical of events around me, not even aware of what I'm doing. Even something as simple as walking the dog. Now, our dog Maggie is 16 now, and she has gotten slow and old, and she has become resistant to walking on my schedule. She is willing to walk, but only when she feels like it. So when my schedule becomes tight, I feel a little bit of resistance. And I find I am inclined to judge her and her willingness. And even when she is willing to walk, maybe how fast she's willing to walk and how long it takes us maybe to get around the block. But that's kind of humorous in a way, but I found that underneath that level, there was a whole nother level of judging going on in which I was judging myself as not living up to the standards that I had set for myself. It was self-criticism. And it was completely tied to what I was judging Maggie to be. I discovered that this process of critical judging affected myself much more than it could possibly affect anybody else out there. Not only was I creating stories about the actions and the motivations of others, including Maggie, but I was telling stories about my own identity, my own worth. I had a log in my eye, and I needed to remove it because what we focus on, we create in our lives. So how do we go about this idea of removing the log from our eye? Well, I think first, in order to remove that obstacle, that log, we must become aware of our own internal judgment. Until I started consciously working with this idea, I did not realize how habitual automatic judgment is. The challenge is to become conscious of the thoughts that constantly roll through our minds so that we can make a different choice. The Buddha taught a way of awareness called mindfulness, being aware in the present moment of our thoughts, our feelings, our experiences, without judging them as either good or bad, just being aware and releasing attachment of what they are, not holding onto them as either being good or bad. Right or wrong. Mindfulness is a practice of awareness that accepts what is in the moment without needing to assign a value to it. Another profound teacher of being mindful of what is Byron Katie. And I want to share a passage from her book, A Thousand Names for Joy. Katie says, "Only by believing your own thoughts can you make the real unreal. The mind's job is to prove what it thinks is true. And it does that by judging and comparing this to that. For example, if you think that only Mozart is beautiful, there's no room in your world for rap. You're entitled to your opinion, of course, but other people think that rap is where it's at. You grit your teeth when you hear it, and when you have to listen, you're in a torture chamber. Now, I don't hear anything as noise. It's all the sound
of God. A mind that doesn't question its judgments makes the world very small and dangerous. Good things, bad things. Good people, bad people. These opposites are valid only by contrast. Could it be that whatever seems bad to you is just something you haven't seen clearly enough yet? Could it be? When we become aware of our judgment, we can become mindful in this present moment, and we can choose not to be critical or to impose our interpretation onto the person or the event. Now, the second aspect of taking that log from our eye is to release our focus on what we do not want. It sounds so simple, but our practice of judging finds fault in everything. And when we find fault in others, those faults become embedded in our own view of ourself. And we become bound by those limitations of that fault, and we then are no longer connected to the unlimited potential that is our right in spirit. When we see our brothers and our sisters as less than, we create a blockage that separates them from their God-created divine nature. And when we see another as separated from their divine nature and their potential, we are separated from our divine nature and our potential. There is a very practical aspect to this idea of judging. And I want to use something that is currently going on in the life of our church, Unity Church of Lawrence. We find ourselves once again at the beginning of a minister search process. My time as fulfilling the role of minister is limited. We'll be ending in the end of October. And we have called forth a wonderful minister magnet team, and they have formed. We have posted on the Unity Worldwide Ministries website the fact that our church is open for new leadership. And I am sure that each one of us here today has judgments around that issue. One of the way judgment shows up sometimes is in fear. Fear becomes fear of the unknown, or fear of recreating something from our past. Fear of having to get out of my comfort zone. Fear of change. It shows up in all kinds of ways, but it's all in judgment of what that condition could be. Now, I want to tell you that over the years, here in this church, I have personally been involved with 3 different minister searches in one way or another. And we have always manifested what we were holding in mind. We have always manifested what we were holding in mind. So the understanding that our thoughts is a wonderful minister magnet, I want to acknowledge that this minister magnet affirmation was very carefully crafted. See, this is a reflection of Unity Church of Lawrence core values and our desire to lovingly manifest our unlimited potential. As empowering as that affirmation can be, there also can be a shadow side to a minister search. If each of us are not aware of our own internal judgment about our past experiences, we may
recreate unknowingly that which we have perceived but found wanting. So to see clearly, we must be willing to release our personal log of judgment. So I invite you, let us take a minute and just begin that process. So if you're willing, I want you to close your eyes and take a breath. Just become comfortable where you sit. Take a deep, centering breath. And gently turn your attention to your heart and just let your heart open. For this is a safe and holy place where you are surrounded and enfolded in the love and the power and the wonder of God. And picture in your mind this church, this community, in a minister search. Whatever that looks like to you. And ask yourself, what story am I telling about this? What is my story? Do you know if that story that you're telling yourself is true? Or is it an interpretation? Is your judgment critical in any way about the minister search? What would it feel like if you could let that judgment go? What would it feel like? What would you be? What would you do? What would you see if that was not there? Can you see the divine nature in the minister search, in your part of it? Divine Spirit, we release this log of judgment into your healing grace. Thank you, God. Amen. So I invite you to take a breath. Open your eyes. When we mindfully remove this log from our eye, we find that the splinter that was so important in the eye of our brother or sister is immaterial. It is no longer of any importance. For we now see with that unlimited potential, that divine sight, where before we had perceived only limitation. What we focus on, we create in our lives. So let us lay down our log of judgment and let us create from a place of joy and love. Clear vision. Namaste. Millie is